BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
First of all, I felt joy that I knew she was alive. Secondly, I felt fear because I had seen that in the picture she was still pregnant, but she hadn't given birth yet.
This is Natalia. She's talking about her reaction to a set of photos that you've probably seen. They show a pregnant woman with blonde hair, covered in blood, wearing polka dot pajamas and draped in a duvet. She's fleeing from a maternity hospital in Mariupol after it was bombed on the 9th of March. That woman is Natalia's friend, Mariana.
I knew exactly how Mariana was feeling at that moment because all her shock was just so visible in the picture.
Natalia hadn't heard from Mariana for a week. All Natalia knew was that her pregnant friend and her friend's husband, Yuri, were trapped in the besieged city.
I was scared for where Yuri was too. God forbid anything had happened to him.
She shared Mariana's photo on social media, heartbroken for her friends and her hometown. Natalia herself had fled Mariupol when the invasion started. It was traumatic enough, but then something else happened.
The very next day, my direct messages were flooded with threats, with really unkind words directed at Mariana.
Soon, Mariana and Yuri's own Instagram pages were bombarded with abusive comments, suggesting that she was somehow acting or pretending to be pregnant. And even the Russian government was spreading some of these lies. They've been claiming that the photos were staged and that Mariana was part of an elaborate deception. But these claims are nonsense.
I was shocked by that kind of lying. It hurts me that people are so good at lying in such an ugly way, and some people actually believe it.
I'm Mariana Spring, and I'm the BBC's specialist disinformation reporter. When the war began in late February, my inbox and social media accounts were flooded with messages from people in Ukraine, Russia, and Britain. And as images of the Russian army on the move were beamed around the world, I was hearing about a very different battle, one that's also having real consequences for the people caught up in it. But there's an old saying that the first casualty when war comes is truth. And as the war in Ukraine deepens, it's clear that Russia's armed assault is accompanied by an onslaught of disinformation, waged by trolls, state media, and influencers, both online and beyond. In this series, I hear about the extraordinary information battle being waged over Ukraine, and the people being sucked into it. I'm Mariana Spring, and for Radio 4, this is War on Truth. Ever since the bombing of that hospital, I've been trying to find out more about my namesake, that other Mariana, the 29-year-old pregnant woman whose image has caused international outcry, even being argued about at the UN Security Council. And so I came across this couple, friends of Mariana. I'll be calling them Natalia and her partner Petro. We've changed their names for their safety, but I've verified who they are. They look cute on Instagram, you know, the type of couple that's super in love. Petro has known Mariana's husband, Yuri, for years. They grew up together. Petro says that Yuri and Mariana's love story is a very modern one.
Yuri and Mariana met each other in internet. Mariana is not from Mariupol, she is from Donetsk region, Makeyevka. One time when Mariana came to Mariupol, the limitations of coronavirus became, and the border was closed. So she
was stuck.
Yes, so they became to live together, and 9 or 8 months later, they married each other.
In English, we call that a lockdown romance.
Yes. Yeah.
Yuri worked at Mariupol's giant iron and steel works, which has now been largely destroyed by bombing. Mariana is a beauty blogger. They often hung out with Petro and Natalia.
We have some traditions. Every Christmas they come to us, and a lot of holidays spending together.
Baby's birthday.
Our baby's birthday, yes.
So you celebrate all together?
Yes, of course. In January, they came to our house, and we saw that Mariana has the baby inside her, and she was very happy, of course. She was very excited. They told us that they had bought lots of things for the baby, the bed, the clothes, and etc.
As I watch some of the pictures coming out of Mariupol, it's hard to imagine there was ever such a time of happiness and hope, and that those times ended just weeks ago. Mariupol is the most heavily bombed city in Ukraine. Petro and Natalia got out fast, just after the invasion started, but most of the city's residents stayed behind, including most of their friends, Petro says, like Mariana and Yuri.
We were very scared about their lives. We knew that Mariana is pregnant, and she was going to give a birth at the 9th of March. And we had no information about them since the 2nd of March.
But then, a week later, on her due date, things changed.
Tonight at 6, a children's hospital is hit by a Russian airstrike in the besieged Ukrainian southern city of Mariupol.
As news spread around the world, pictures of the aftermath of the bombing started circulating online. Taken by a photographer for the Associated Press news agency, they show two different heavily pregnant women. And pay attention to this, because this is actually really key. One of the women appears seriously injured. She's wearing a purple jumper, clutching her stomach, and being stretched away from the hospital. The other photos show a different woman, Mariana. In one, she is carefully walking down the stairs of a damaged building in her spotty pajamas. In the other, she is wrapped in her duvet outside, staring blankly at the camera. In both, her forehead is covered in blood.
When I saw the picture, I knew exactly how Mariana was feeling at that moment, because all of her shock was just visible in the picture, that feeling. Not even confusion, but just that, I guess, just a feeling of emptiness.
Natalia felt the world needed to know about what had happened to Mariana. So she decided to post a story on Instagram, and the message was, "This is my friend. This is what's happening in Mariupol."
The very next day, my direct messages were flooded with threats, with really unkind words directed at Mariana. Then I went to Mariana's page, to Yuri's page, and I saw how many awful comments people posted there. They accused her of being an actress.
Yep, you heard it right. An actress. And the fact she was a beauty blogger was somehow seen as evidence that she was pretending to be pregnant, even though she'd been posting about her pregnancy on social media before the war began. It was mainly Russian users who were making these false allegations, but not entirely.
Even those people who are on our side have written to me and asked me whether the photos are real.
We know this girl and her husband, so we are real people and they are real people too.
So where exactly did those suggestions come from? Why would anyone think she was part of an elaborate hoax?
My name is Olga Robinson and I'm a disinformation specialist at BBC Monitoring.
Olga's been following Mariana's story pretty much from the moment it started spreading on social media, and she's kept a close eye on what Russian users have been saying.
As the first images from the scene of the attack started circulating online, and that was a few hours after the attack, pro-Kremlin channels on Telegram went into a frenzy.
The claims were wild.
They insisted that the hospital was not operational, and they also claimed that the injured women in the pictures were one and the same woman. Then a few hours later, an anonymous pro-Kremlin Telegram channel found Mariana's Instagram page and claimed that her photographs had been staged, that she had makeup put on her and she played the other injured woman from the pictures. And then this spread on Telegram like wildfire.
We're entering confusing territory here, so let's just recap. The suggestion here, spreading on Telegram, was that Mariana had been paid to take part in an elaborate photo shoot meant to fake the aftermath of this attack. Her role, playing not just one, but two different pregnant women. The implication being that the Ukrainians wanted to create the illusion of there being many casualties. So how do we know that these were actually two different people?
I think for anyone who looks at the picture, and if you have eyes, it's pretty clear that the two women are completely different.
Completely different. Their clothes don't match, and if you look closely at their faces, you'll see they're also different. A doctor later told journalists that the woman pictured on the stretcher died after the attack, as did her baby. We know from several friends and relatives that, at the time of recording this episode, Mariana is very much alive. The claims circulating on Telegram were far-fetched, spread by people who couldn't imagine that their side, the Russian military, would have bombed pregnant women and children. But despite how outlandish the claims were, their false narrative soon made it onto Russian primetime TV. And Russian officials started repeating it around the world. Here's the Russian ambassador to the Netherlands, Alexander Shulgin, speaking to Dutch public broadcaster VPRO.
We saw this picture of pregnant women, maternity ward in Mariupol.
These are all actors.
On front pages, New York Times and other media. Well, actually, this is only one woman. She is featured here, rushing down the stairwell. Here she changed clothes and she has been brought on the stretcher.
But you're showing this to me.
Let's rewind a little, because these allegations about Mariana acting are just one part of the complex narrative spun by Russia about what happened.
A few days before the attack on the Mariupol hospital, pro-Russian accounts on social media started promoting the idea that Ukrainian nationalists were using civilians as human shields. And it was specifically stressed that the far-right Ukrainian regiment named Azov had been using a maternity hospital in Mariupol as their base.
That name, Azov, has also come up again in the context of another attack on civilians in Mariupol. Russia has been accused of bombing the drama theatre there, where hundreds of women and children were believed to be taking refuge. But Russia has denied responsibility and instead blamed the Azov regiment for this. Is there any evidence to suggest that these allegations Russia are making against the Azov regiment are true?
Apart from Russian claims, at least so far, we don't really have any other evidence.
Who are this Azov battalion? Because it seems as though they really are the bogeyman for Russia.
Well, Azov is a controversial nationalist armed group that has been linked with neo-Nazis, and that's something that they themselves deny. And they are now part of Ukraine's National Guard. But the very existence of Azov in Ukraine has been used as essentially a pretext for the Russian invasion of Ukraine, which Moscow describes as a military operation to denazify Ukraine. But to describe and portray Ukraine as a country that is in the grip of neo-Nazis is just plain wrong, because the support for the far right in the country is very, very limited. And we know that they didn't even make it into parliament during the election in 2019.
After the attack on the maternity hospital, the Kremlin continued to insist that the hospital the Russian military bombed was actually not operational, as they'd claimed days earlier. But was that true? Statements from Russian officials, media and social media accounts all repeated this allegation, referring to the hospital as Mariupol's hospital number one. And that's important, hospital number one. But Olga and our team geolocated the maternity hospital which was bombed and where Mariana was photographed. It was Mariupol's hospital number 3, not 1. Staff at hospital number 3 had also recently put out an appeal on social media for assistance to keep it running. This suggests it was very much still working as a hospital. I've contacted the Russian embassy here in the UK to hear what they say about this evidence. They have so far stood by their version of events, but they didn't respond to my request for comment. What's the purpose of this disinformation campaign?
What allows them to essentially put out a counter-narrative out there that doesn't make Russia look bad. So essentially what they're saying is that the hospital was a legitimate target because there were nationalists allegedly there who gathered all pregnant women and were deliberately trying to stage a provocation, and that Russia has been trapped in this provocation.
More photos of Mariana emerged 2 days after that Mariupol hospital was bombed. This time with her new baby, a little girl called Veronica. Petro, Mariana's friend, was relieved.
We saw a photo with Mariana, Mariana's baby, and Yura together in a hospital. It was very great news, and we told all the people who still didn't believe in it. We showed this photo to prove the truth.
Sources I've spoken to have told me Mariana and her baby Veronica are out of immediate danger. But a fortnight on from the bombing, disinformation about Mariana is continuing to spread and evolve. Just in the last few days, a new video circulating on Telegram claims to show a healthy Mariana among a crowd of civilians receiving a loaf of bread and a bottle of water, supposedly from Russian soldiers out of frame. The caption describes her as the fake injured woman in labour in the Mariupol maternity hospital. The message seems to be that Ukraine has cast Mariana aside now that she's served her propaganda purpose and that she's benefiting from Russian generosity. I showed this video to Petro and Natalia. I've just sent a new video, where they are claiming that the woman in the video is Mariana. And would you be able to open it and to see what you think?
Так, и что? А, нет, это не она. Мне
No.
No, it should not. My sister from Russia.
Send this video too.
Yes. Ну нет, это не она.
No.
Petro and Natalia don't know when they'll see Mariana again, but they do know the woman in this new video is not her. I'm Mariana Spring, and that was the fourth episode of War on Truth. Please do get in touch with us if you have stories you want to share or things you'd like us to investigate. You can contact me by email at mariana@spring.bbc.co.uk.
Hi, I'm John Ronson, and I want to tell you about a new podcast I've made for BBC Radio 4. It's called Things Fell Apart. If you've ever yelled at someone on social media about, say, cancel culture or mask wearing, then you are a soldier in the culture wars. Those everyday battles for dominance between conflicting values. I was curious to learn how things fell apart, and so I decided to go back in history and find the origin stories.
There was this ping, and there was a bullet flying around the house.
I had no idea, but I've uncovered some extraordinary people and the strangest, most consequential tales. Subscribe now to Things Fell Apart on BBC Sounds.